Welcome to the Trumpet of Truth, a broadcast ministry of the Waycross Primitive Baptist Church located at 107 Linden Drive in Waycross, Georgia. Our mission is to make disciples in Waycross, Ware County, Southeast Georgia, and the world beyond. We do that by teaching and doing our very best to live the truth of God on earth as it is in heaven and encouraging others along the way. The Trumpet of Truth radio broadcast can be heard Sunday mornings at 9 and Sunday evenings at 5 on WASW 91.9 FM, American Family Radio. You are an important part of our ministry. Thank you for making us part of your Lord's Day celebration. Please stay tuned after the message for information on how you can receive a CD of the broadcast, a free subscription to our monthly magazine, or how to contact us if you have any questions about what you hear. Now, with the message, the pastor of the Waycross Primitive Baptist Church, Brother Bill Mullis.
The first verse of that song describes a lot of the main things that are on my heart this morning. First verse says, Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly. While the nearer waters roll, while the tempest still is high. That's the storms of life, while the nearer waters roll. You know, sometimes if I'm out in my yard and I hear the thunder and see the lightning, sometimes I am glad to hear the storm coming, especially when we're dry and I'm thanking the Lord, please send some rain. And I'm not really afraid of lightning and thundering and things like that. I hope I'm not tempting the Lord, but I enjoy being out in storms when I'm on dry land. But if I was out in the ocean and a storm came up, I would feel quite differently. That's the way the Word of God describes an occasion in the Bible where Jesus had told his disciples to get on a ship. We're going to another side of the sea. And as they got in that ship, they were following Jesus. They were doing exactly what Jesus told them to do. There are a lot of people today who think that if you do what Jesus tells you to do, you're not going to have any troubles in your life. You're not going to have any storms. You're not going to have any sickness. You're going to be rich. All is going to be well. Everything is going to be a bed of roses if you just follow Jesus. Well, brethren, that's just not true. You'll still have sickness when you follow Jesus. You'll still have storms. You'll still have trouble. Sometimes you'll have financial trouble. You'll still have loved ones that die. You'll still have to go through the valleys of life. But if Jesus is with you on that ship in the storm on the sea, then you can have peace in your soul. God has not promised that we will not have storms. God has not promised that we will not have trouble. But I will not fear the storms of life if I know that Jesus is with me. If I can feel His presence, if my faith is strong and I believe Jesus, then when I go through the storms, even on the sea, and the tempest is tossing my little boat and waves are overflowing that boat, I will not be afraid if I'm trusting in Jesus, if I can just feel Jesus with me. I'm not saying I'll never be afraid. I think that God's people do get afraid sometimes, but when I am afraid and I begin to concentrate on Jesus, that fear leaves me. The psalmist expressed it this way. He says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. So whatever you're facing in your life, whatever problems and troubles and sickness and whatever it is that you're facing in your life, if you're following Jesus like those disciples that got on that boat and followed Jesus and were doing exactly what Jesus told them to do, which was get on the boat, let's go to the other side. If you're following Jesus, Jesus is in that boat with you, and there's no reason for you to be afraid. If you've set off on your own and you're doing things that are not pleasing to Jesus, then you need to fasten your seatbelt, but it won't do you a lot of good because the storms will come and they'll destroy your life if you can't feel Jesus with you. Last week we tried to study about under the hills I lift up mine eyes. We need help. God is not only the God of the hills and the valleys, God is the God of the sea. He controls the wind and the rain, and the seas obey him. If you look in your Bibles now at Matthew chapter 8, this passage, this scene that's described here in Matthew chapter 8 is also in Mark and in Luke. Little difference in the wording in each of those three places, but I encourage you to go home and read in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Read the three different accounts of what happened here when Jesus told his disciples to get on that boat and go to the other side. Now, you can picture that in a lot of different ways. I can picture the land on this side as me being born into this world, and I can picture the land on this side as being going to heaven when I die, and I can picture all of my life is like on that ship on a sea. Eventually I'm going to get where Jesus would take me, but during that travel of my lifetime, I'm going to have troubles and storms. There are going to be some good times. There are going to be some times when the sea is like a glass and it's going to be smooth sailing, so to speak, but there's going to be other times that I'm going to see storms all around me and I might be afraid. And there are going to be other times that the storm is on top of me and it's really a dangerous time in my life. But I ought not to be afraid if I'm in the ship with Jesus. I actually think a better picture would, instead of my birth to my death, would be when I begin to follow Jesus as a disciple. That's what he says here. Look in your Bibles at Matthew chapter 8, beginning in verse 23. The Word of God says, and when, this is Matthew 8, verse 23, and when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. Now, Mark tells us that Jesus told them to get into the ship, and they obeyed him, and they followed him. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. So my first question to you this morning would be, are you following Jesus? Because if you follow Jesus, you're going to have storms. And if you don't follow Jesus, you're still going to have storms. You know, Jesus makes it clear in the previous chapter, Matthew 7, 24 through 27. I'm not going to read that, but just listen. He says, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man that built his house upon the rock. And the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house and it fell not, for it was founded on a rock. But whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not. See, the only difference is those that did what God told them, those that didn't do what God told them. Everything else is the same. This idea, if you don't follow Jesus, you're going to have a life of ease, is a lie. And the idea that if you follow Jesus, it's going to be a life of ease, that's a lie. You're going to have storms either way. Best thing in the world is to get close to Jesus, who controls those storms. Verse 24, now watch this. It's amazing. Verse 23 says, and his disciples followed him. Verse 24 says, and behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. Now, as soon as it says they followed him, what's the very next statement? And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea. This was a bad storm. It wasn't a little storm. It was a bad storm. They would have died had it not been for Jesus being there with them. They would have perished if Jesus had not stopped that storm. Verse 25 says, and his disciples, and Jesus was asleep, by the way. I thought a lot about this during the week. I thought about Jesus being asleep on that ship. One of the things that stood out to me was Jesus was a man. Now, Jesus was God in the flesh, but Jesus was a man. And he got tired. Jesus got tired. Do you ever get tired? Sometimes I think I cannot take. One day this week I was going up the steps to the front porch and I got to the top step and I thought, I can't even make it in the house. I was glad it were only three steps because if there had been four, I couldn't have gotten up the next one, I don't think. Do you get tired? Jesus got tired. He was a man. Now, he was God, but he was man. He was all man and he was all God. He was God manifest in the flesh. But he felt things just like you and I feel. He was tempted in all points like we are. And as a man, he got sleepy and he got tired. And when he got on that ship, as soon as he got away from that multitude of people that was on the shore, as soon as he got in the ship, he went to sleep. And the storm came up and the storm did not wake him up. That's a pretty sound sleep, isn't it? A lot of times at night, if a storm comes, lightning and thunder sounds very loud. Sometimes the thunder will wake me up. But Jesus was sleeping right through the storm. The next verse says, as they woke him up and they were crying out to him saying, Lord, save us, we perish. Now I think it's wonderful that they knew where to go when they got in trouble. Lord, save us, we perish. I think everybody here has been right there where you felt like, Lord, if you don't help me right now, I'm going down. I can't go on any further. And no matter what your situation is right now, if you're not in a storm, if everything is wonderful in your life, I want to tell you, the storms are going to come. Enjoy the good times, but the storms are going to come. And when the storms come, I want to encourage you to run to Jesus and say, Lord, save us. I'm not talking about take me to heaven. If they just wanted to go to heaven, all they had to do was just say, well, we're fixing to die. They didn't want to die. They weren't ready to go to heaven right then. They wanted to live. Lord, save us. They wanted to be saved from the storm they were in. Lord, save us. We perish. Verse 26 says, and he saith unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? That's the main thought. There's a lot of other. The main thought that was on my heart was when they later said in verse 27, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? That was the main thought that was on my heart. But now the main thought that's on my heart is where Jesus said to them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Now, Jesus rebuked those winds, didn't he? That's the way Mark and Luke described it. He rebuked the winds. It says that here. Then he arose. Look at verse 26. Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? And verse 26 says, then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Now, I saw something in that I've never seen before. I did it to my dog this week twice. I'm moving a fence, moving the backyard fence. One of them, the only thing I do is lock that dog up. But the other one will do what I say. Tore the fence down. Dog went up to where the fence was, stopped right there. Did that quite a few times, several hours that me and another man were trying to move that fence over, and the fence was down. No, nothing to contain the dog. The dog stayed where it was supposed to stay. But then when I turned my back and forgot about the dog for a couple of hours, I looked around and the dog was gone. And when I hollered for the dog came running back with her tail between her legs and came up to me and sat down. Now, I rebuked the dog. The next time the dog started to go out, I said, Princess, stop. You know what the dog did every time? That dog, when I rebuke that dog stops. Doesn't matter. Another dog can be going down the road and she can be out of the fence. I'll say, Princess, and she stops. And I pictured that last night when those winds and waves were so boisterous, and the Bible says that Jesus rebuked them. And he said, "Peace, be still." Immediately, just like my dog cowers down, sits down, stops, immediately as I rebuke that dog, immediately the wind stopped and the sea obeyed him. Now, we read about his miracles. We read about him healing blind people. That's a big miracle. And we read about him healing the deaf and lepers. We even read about him raising the dead. We read about all kinds of miracles that Jesus is able to do. But the winds and the sea obey him. The apostles were shocked. Now, they had already seen a lot of other physical miracles, a lot of healings, but they had never seen such an amazing thing that even the winds and the sea obey him. The winds obey him. I see you stop the wind. They obey Jesus. The winds and the sea obey him. He created them. He can speak and there will be a calm. And therefore, he says to his disciples, "Why are ye so fearful, O ye of little faith?" And that's the question I have to me primarily. I want you to remember that every time I'm pointing at you, I've got three fingers pointing back at me. And sometimes I'm afraid, and I ought not to be afraid, because Jesus is able to take care of everything. The Apostle Paul said, "I've committed all things unto his keeping. I know that he can take care of everything." And he can. Why are you so fearful? In any area of your life, the question still is going to be there. When you're afraid, and you ought not to be afraid, you need to hear Jesus say, "Why are you so fearful? Have you forgotten that I have the power to heal? Have you forgotten that I have the power to rebuke the storm? Have you forgotten that I can be with you in the middle of the ocean when Jonah was cast out of the ship and was going down to the bottom of the sea? God prepared a whale for him, a big fish." Old Testament, New Testament. One says great fish, the other one says a whale. God prepared that fish. And if you have to go down in the middle of the sea, God will still take care of you. And if he takes you on up to glory, hallelujah. Some of you knew Brother Eston Walker. And his wife, Sister Bobby, passed away late yesterday afternoon. The family called me, and I think I preached every Walker's funeral over there. And they wanted me to preach her funeral this week. And when they told me that Sister Bobby had gone home to be with the Lord, all I could say was, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus." That's where she is. She's with Jesus right now. Death is not something to be afraid of. And when I hear of somebody passing away, the Bible says that the day of one's death is better than the day of the birth. So when I hear about somebody dying, and I don't want you to die, and I don't want you to want me to die, I want to stay around a while. But brethren, when I die, or when you die, I hope my thought will be, he's with Jesus right now. For the first 30 minutes after my son died, I went all to pieces. And then I thought, he's with Jesus. He's with Jesus. And when my daddy died, immediately I thought, he's with Jesus. And when I've thought about the biggest storms in my life, last night or yesterday, I was thinking about the five biggest storms in my life. I encourage you to make a list of the biggest and the worst storms you've ever been in your life. You sit down and write them down. You talk about them. You think about them. The worst storms you've ever been in your life. Think about the five worst storms you've ever been in. The five most difficult things you've ever experienced in your life. The five hardest times, the hardest days, weeks, months, whatever. You think about the five hardest times you've ever had in your life. And did you know, as I reflected back on each of those five things, there's something that stood out, and that's that Jesus was there. And I found great peace and joy in looking back at those things that were very difficult when I was going through them. and very hard right then. But as I look back, I think, wow, how wonderful it is that Jesus is with me in the storms. And as I look back all over my life and I see that Jesus has been with me in the storms, and another storm comes, I can say, I'm not going to be afraid because Jesus is with me. And as bad as things get and whatever happens, I'm still going to come out better on the other side of this storm than I was right now before the storm. And I want to tell you, no matter how bad the storms are, and no matter what happens in the storm, if you'll open your eyes, if God will open your eyes, you'll see that God's hand was perfect in everything that happened. You might not be able to see it now, but you'll eventually see that God's hand was working, even in the middle of the storm. So the question is, why are you so fearful? Why are you so afraid? Look at the next chapter in your Bible, Matthew chapter 10. Jesus in Matthew chapter 10 chose the 12 apostles. That's the first few verses. And then he told them where to go and where not to go. And then if you look at Matthew 10, verse 16, as he sends out the 12 apostles. Now, do people like preachers? Let me ask you that question first. Do people like preachers? Some people like preachers. Some people love preachers. And some people hate preachers. I had on a shirt one day this week, went in to get some building materials, and it said, it was from the church camp, it said from the year that we studied, the Lord shall judge his people. And there were two men over there that were clearly homosexuals and hugging on each other, and they got to looking at my shirt and laughing and pointing and giggling and talking, and I don't think they like me too much. I don't think they like the message too much. But I want you to know there's some people that looked at me and said, amen, brother. People I didn't know that said, amen, brother. You're right. Some of them said, I want to try to live better as a result of that little message you got on your shirt. These 12 apostles were sent out by Jesus to preach. And here's what Jesus said in Matthew 10, verse 16. He said, behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. You get the picture? Sheep. They didn't have guns. They didn't have the ability to fight a wolf. There was no defense. They had a sheep in the midst of wolves. Were they going to be afraid? Were they going to be afraid? Okay, heads are going both ways. Well, if they're afraid, they need to trust in the Lord, and they need to hear Jesus say, why are you so fearful? Don't you remember what I did yesterday? Don't you remember I spoke and the winds and the sea obeyed me? I said, peace, be still. Now, why are you so fearful? I'm sending you forth. That's right. I'm sending you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves, but don't be afraid. Come down to Matthew 10, verse 22. Matthew 10, 22 says, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Come down to verse 28. He says, and fear not. What did he say? Fear not. Fear not. Why are ye so what? Why are ye so fearful? He says in Matthew 10, 28, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him. Are you supposed to fear God? Fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. I'm not going to read the rest of this chapter, but I encourage you to go home and read it. I also encourage you to go home and read Matthew chapter 6, the couple of chapters before this, where Jesus said, take no thought for tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. That's what he said in Matthew 6, 25 through the end of that chapter. Don't worry about tomorrow. Why are you so what? Why are you so fearful? Are you worried about anything in the future? Well, stop worrying. Jesus is, capital I-S, he is in control. Did you know that brown dog I've got that won't obey me? All Jesus has to say is, peace, be still. And that dog will be quiet. One of those dogs will obey me, one of them won't. But Jesus speaks, and whatever he says, it's going to happen. He's all powerful. He's promised he's going to take care of you and you and you. He's going to take care of you. Are you glad that Jesus is in control? Back up in your Bibles, I do want you to remember and to know that you will sometimes be afraid. Back up in your Bibles to Psalm 31. Psalm 31, listen please to verse 19. Psalm 31 and verse 19. I want you to know that we should fear God, but we should not fear people. We should fear God, but we should not fear the storms. We should fear God, but we should not fear the government. We should fear God, but we should not fear what's going to happen to our children. If you're raising them in a way that's pleasing to God, if you're trying to do the best you can, I'm telling you, brethren, God will help you when they begin to get older and you can't control them as well. God will still help you. Now, if you just let them live like animals when they were growing up, you're going to have animals when they get grown, unless God comes and strikes them down. You let them live any way, you let them dress any way they want to when they're growing up, you don't make them work, you don't discipline them like you ought to, you're going to have slobs when you get grown, when they get grown, just like they were slobs growing up. That's sad. That's parental delinquency. It's not juvenile delinquency, it's parental delinquency. I like to see children that work, that like to work, that enjoy working. I don't like to see kids that run from work. I don't like to see adults that run from work. There are some people that are always looking for some easy way out. They're just looking for a lawsuit, looking for some way to get money for free, always looking for some way to sue somebody so they don't have to work. Brethren, Jesus is going to judge every one of us for everything we do in our lives. And sometimes he's going to send storms to tear your house down if you haven't been trying to follow the Lord. And other times he'll send storms just to prove and to show you, he already knows, that he can take care of you even in the middle of the storms. Psalm 31, verse 19. Psalm 31, verse 19, the Word of God says, "Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee." Oh, he's got a lot of goodness laid up. You see that? It's like I were to say, "Brother Neil, you've been real good. I'm going to give you $10,000 for being real good." Got it laid up for you. Had it laid up for you, been watching you, and you've done good, so here's $10,000. Here's $100,000. You follow me? God has great things laid up. I'm not talking about material things only. I'm talking about primarily spiritual things. God has great things laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. That is, people see you're trusting in the Lord. People see you in the middle of a storm, and what do they see? Great what? What is it that keeps you from having fear? Five-letter word that keeps you from being afraid. What is it? See, those people, those men, those disciples in the ship, they were afraid. He said, "Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith?" Sometimes we have little faith. Sometimes we have great faith. Jesus said about a woman on one occasion, "I've not seen so great a faith. No, not in all of Israel." And there's a woman that comes to my mind right now that I can truthfully, honestly say that in all my life, I've never seen as much faith as that woman had in her life. And that's Sister Michelle Street. Great faith. When you've got great faith, you know what you have? No fear. The scripture says, "Thou wilt keep him in," say it again, Brother John, "thou wilt keep him in" what? Perfect peace. Perfect peace. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And he may say, get on this ship, and we're going to the other side. And in the middle of that trip, a big storm may come up. But I encourage you, don't be afraid. Be strong in faith, knowing that Jesus can say, peace be still. Just like that, Jesus will take care of you. May God help us, is my prayer for Christ's sake.
You have been listening to the Trumpet of Truth radio broadcast. We hope you have enjoyed and were blessed by the first message. Now, on to the second message for today. The pastor of the Waycross Primitive Baptist Church, Brother Bill Mullis.
The subject that's on my heart tonight is the subject of calling on the name of the Lord, calling on Jesus, calling on God. It's mentioned in the Old and the New Testaments, and there are people that have called on the name of the Lord, I think, in every generation. I think it's important that we understand that there are a lot of different reasons to call on the name of the Lord. One of those reasons that God's people sometimes call on the name of the Lord is in time of trouble. Whenever they're in difficulty, they call on the name of the Lord. You need to call on the name of the Lord. The Word of God teaches that we're to call on the name of the Lord. There are great blessings that come from calling on the name of the Lord. In fact, there are a lot of times the Scripture talks about whosoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, that doesn't always have reference to going to heaven when you die. In fact, never has reference to that. But it does have reference to a lot of different things that God's people need to be saved from while they live here in this world. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For example, you remember this morning we looked at the expression where Peter and the apostles were on the ship and the storm came up and they cried out. They said, Lord, save us. Were they calling on the name of the Lord when they said, Lord, save us? They weren't talking about saving them from eternal hell to eternal heaven. They were talking about being delivered from the storm and saving their lives from perishing in the middle of that storm. And so in all of our lives, I want to encourage everybody here of the importance of you calling on the name of the Lord. When you're having trouble, you need to understand that it's pleasing to God for you to call on God. Call on the name of the Lord. Cry out to Jesus. Call on Jesus. I would say you need to call on His name, Jesus. Call on the name of Jesus. And when we call on the name of the Lord, I believe that if we have been trying to follow the Word of God and living the way the Word of God teaches for us to live, and then we call on the name of the Lord as we understand the Word of God to tell us to call on the name of the Lord, I believe that you will be saved. I believe there's a salvation that comes to the people of God who are serving God and trying to follow God's Word, and then they call on the Lord. I believe that there is a salvation that comes to them. Peter and the apostles were saved right here. They called on the name of the Lord. Now, they had little faith because they were so afraid of the storm and afraid of dying. And Jesus did rebuke them for having such little faith. He said, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? But they did call on the name of the Lord, and Jesus saved them from that storm. So sometimes we may have little faith, but I still want you to call on the name of the Lord. Call unto Jesus. Call on the name of the Lord. When Stephen, let's begin tonight by looking at Acts chapter 7. Stephen was in the process of being stoned to death. And the first couple of things that we look at is somebody like Peter and the apostles that were in great trouble. You remember when Stephen was in the process of being stoned to death, the Word of God tells us some very specific things that happened while he was being stoned. You look in your Bibles at Acts chapter 7, beginning in verse 54. Of course, you can go back and read 51 through 53, but then verse after Stephen has rebuked these people for their ungodly ways and resisting the Holy Ghost. In verse 54, the Word of God says, "And when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth." Now, there was something that I think that Stephen had already done. I think he'd already called on the name of the Lord before he ever began to speak to those people. I think that's the reason that he knew exactly what he needed to say to those people, is he had already called on the name of the Lord. I don't think it was this, as we go down, I don't think this was the first time Stephen had called on the name of the Lord. Stephen was a man that was full of the Holy Ghost. And a man that's full of the Holy Ghost is going to be called man, woman, boy, or girl. That's full of the Holy Ghost is going to be calling on the name of the Lord. They're going to be calling on the Lord because he is our helper. He is the one that can help us. He's the one that can deliver us. He's the one that can save us. And so we need to call on the Lord. In Acts chapter 7, now beginning in verse 54, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven, saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. That was Saul of Tarsus, who later became Paul the Apostle. He was the one that had been motivating and moving for this stoning of Stephen. Now listen to verse 59. "And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God." Now, it wasn't the people that were calling upon God. It was Stephen that was calling upon God. "And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.'" Was he calling on the name of the Lord? Was he saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit"? The next verse says, "And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, 'Lord, lay not this sin to their charge.' And when he had said this, he fell asleep." That's a beautiful expression there, that he fell asleep. Now, there are two times in this passage of Scripture that he called on the name of the Lord. The first one was, the Scripture says he called on the name of the Lord in verse 59, calling upon God and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Did he want Jesus to take him on home? Did he want relief from the pain and the suffering that he was experiencing? He said, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Did he call on the name of the Lord? Did the Lord save him? Doesn't have anything to do with him going to heaven when he died. He wanted release from this world. And he was saved by death, by calling on the name of the Lord. He was saved from the suffering he was going through. And then he called on the Lord in verse 60 and he said, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." Now, brethren, that's an amazing thing that a man would be being stoned to death by people and yet he calls on the name of the Lord for the Lord to not lay this sin. It was sin what they were doing. What they were doing was killing a man of God who had told them the truth. And yet he is praying and calling on the name of the Lord and saying, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." I want you to call on the name of the Lord. Not only when you need help, but I want you to call on the name of the Lord when you have enemies. I want you to call on the name of the Lord to have mercy on them. I want you to call on the name of the Lord to pray fervently that God will help those that might be your enemies. They're enemies of the gospel, but they may be beloved for the Father's sake. I think I have some enemies that are my brothers and sisters in Christ. Do you understand what I'm saying? There are many times that children of God are in error and they're maybe not living right and they hate those that are trying to do what's right, and yet they're still God's children. And I want you to pray I want you to call on the name of the Lord for God to have mercy on them. There are probably some people that have called on the name of the Lord for God to have mercy on you. God, I believe, has had people in my lifetime that have called on the name of the Lord and said, Lord, have mercy on him. So you call on the name of the Lord when you need help, but you also call on the name of the Lord in behalf of other people. Intercessory prayer is very, very important in our lives. To call on the name of the Lord and ask him, help them, Lord. They need help. And even your enemies, Jesus taught us that we're to pray for our enemies. And that's what Stephen did right here. Now, I want to go to another passage of Scripture. It's often misunderstood in the book of Acts. And in order to understand what Peter was talking about on the day of Pentecost, when he talked about those people that called on the name of the Lord, you have to go back to the book of Joel. I want you to follow this carefully, but please look in your Bibles at the book of Joel. The easiest way to find the book of Joel to me is start in Matthew. If you don't know the book, names of the book of the Bible, start in Matthew and you back up about 40 pages, 30 or 40 pages, and you should find Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. You should find those books of the Bible right there together. The little book called Joel. And I want you to listen to what the Word of God says in the book of Joel about calling on the name of the Lord. Joel chapter 2, starting with verse 28. Please notice this in Joel chapter 2, starting in verse 28 and reading through the end of the chapter, those four or five verses there. Joel chapter 2, beginning in verse 28. This passage is going to tell us something else about calling on the name of the Lord. This is a prophecy. Joel was a prophet. Joel was declaring there's going to come a day when the Messiah comes. There's going to come a day when the church is going to be established. There's going to come a day when the kingdom of heaven is going to be established. There's going to come a day, and this is the main thing that Joel talks about. If you go home and read the book of Joel, Joel is telling the people of God, the Jews specifically, saying Jesus is going to judge the nation of Israel. And he's going to destroy the Jews because of their rejection and rebellion of God. Joel writes about that in great detail. It's fulfilled within the first 100 years after Jesus was born. Look at Joel chapter 2, beginning in verse 28. Scripture says in Joel 2, verse 28, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days, remember that in those days, will I pour out my spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. Now let me pause right here. Don't have time to go through the whole book of Joel to show you this, but the great and terrible day of the Lord that Joel is speaking about is when Jesus was going to come back and destroy the Jews, destroy Jerusalem, and set up the new Jerusalem, which is the kingdom of heaven. That's the great and terrible day of the Lord that Joel is speaking about here, and you'll see that as we go along. He says, here are some great miracles that are going to happen. Here's how God is going to pour out his spirit before what happens. Before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. Verse 32 says, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord, when that terrible day of the Lord shall come, and whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. What does the word delivered mean? Saved. Most of the time in the Old Testament, when the word delivered is used, and then it's quoted in the New Testament, the quote will say saved. Delivered and saved means the same thing. And he says, when this great and terrible day of the Lord comes, when God begins to destroy Jerusalem and destroy the nation of Israel, in that great and terrible day of the Lord, whosoever in that day shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm going to read all of 32 and then go to the New Testament and show you the fulfillment of it. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion, you remember we looked at three mountains last week, looked at Mount Sinai, looked at Mount Calvary, and looked at Mount Zion. The Word of God says here, for in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Now, turn to Acts chapter 2, because Acts chapter 2 is a fulfillment of Joel chapter 2. The day of Pentecost, when Peter was preaching, there was a fulfillment of some things that Joel spoke about. Joel said that there were some miracles that were going to happen. There was going to be a great outpouring of the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit would be manifest in a wonderful and a marvelous way before the great and terrible the day of the Lord shall come. In Acts chapter 2, starting with verse 14, listen carefully. Acts 2, starting in verse 14, the Word of God says, but Peter, this is on the day of Pentecost now, the Spirit of God has been poured out in a mighty way in the beginning of Acts chapter 2. And then in Acts 2:14, the Word of God says, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Now what does he say in verse 16? He says, this, what's that referring to when he says, this is that which was spoken of by Joel? What is it? The outpouring of the Holy Spirit that's been done there. He says, this, that outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And then verse 17 says, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord shall come. Do you see what he's saying? He's giving you a clear time reference. This outpouring of the Holy Spirit that happened on the day of Pentecost was going to happen. Joel said it was going to happen. And Peter says, now this is that that's happened. This is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And all this was going to happen before that great and notable day of the Lord shall come. And verse 21 says, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Brethren, if you go home and read Matthew 24 and you read Revelation 20, you're going to read about a horrible destruction. In fact, most of Revelation, from Revelation chapter 6 to Revelation chapter 20, is talking about the horrible suffering, the hell that the Jews went through, specifically the hell that Jerusalem went through because God poured out his wrath. Why? Because they rejected Jesus Christ. But there were Jews that believed on the name of the Lord. There were Jews that believed that Jesus was the Christ. And they called on the name of the Lord when all that destruction was taking place. And they were saved, or they were delivered, because they called on the name of the Lord. And there was a remnant. Joel speaks about it. There was a remnant that was saved. Why? Because they were following Jesus and they called on the name of the Lord. Brethren, the same thing that happened in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago is about to happen in America. And I want to encourage you to do what God told them to do. I want you to call on the name of the Lord when trouble starts coming in your life. Doesn't matter if it's just you and you alone that's having trouble, like Peter that began when he was walking on water on one occasion. You remember when he saw Jesus walking on water and Jesus said, come, you want to come? Come. And he went out and he began to see the waves boisterous and he began to sink. And he said, what? Lord. What did he call on? The name of the Lord. Lord, save me. And the Lord saved him. So it doesn't matter whether it's you personally or your family. Brethren, you're going to have trouble sometimes in your family, and I want you to call on the name of the Lord. Or the church. You know what the church needs to do? Every time we have a problem, we need to call on the name of the Lord. Why? Because the Lord's the only one that can help the church. And all of our problems, all of our troubles, doesn't matter what the problems are, our help comes from the Lord. Call on the name of the Lord. Or if it's a major catastrophe, a hurricane, or if it's a national catastrophe, like America being destroyed, it doesn't matter what the situation is, doesn't matter how big the storm is, doesn't matter how many people are being affected, call on the name of the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Oh, Jesus humbled himself and he came down to this sin-cursed earth. He lived an absolutely perfect life. He finished his work that he came to do. He saved his people from their sins and then he died and then he rose again. And Jesus is right now, he is king. He is not just going to be, brethren, today. Jesus is King of kings and Lord of lords. Jesus is my shepherd presently. And I need and you need to call on the only one who can always help you. And that's Jesus. Because God has given him, Jesus, a name that is above every name. It is better than any other name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Lord. And you need to call on the name of the Lord. Now, there's another whole sermon, and I told Teresa on the way to church tonight, I said, I'm not sure what to do tonight, but probably going to be preaching more about calling on the name of the Lord, because I want us to look at Romans 10. And I want us to look at a lot of other passages that talk a great deal about calling on the name of the Lord. But if you don't take the time to slowly go through those passages, you'll get lost and you'll completely misunderstand what's being said. So, Lord willing, either Wednesday night or next Sunday, we'll continue. Or not Wednesday night, it won't be Wednesday night. Maybe next Sunday, but if I live and the Lord leaves me of the same mind, we need to look at Romans 10. We need to look at a lot of other scriptures that talk about calling on the name of the Lord. But let me just close by saying this. Listen carefully. You listen. This is very important. Nail this down. Mark it down. Write it down in a book. Not everybody that calls on the name of the Lord is going to be saved. Brother Neil just quoted Matthew 7:21. Jesus makes this statement. Jesus in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And then Jesus gives us the parable of the 10 virgins in Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. And those five foolish virgins, what did they do? Had they heard? Did they know? Did they understand they needed to call on the name of the Lord? And so it is that in Matthew 25, those five foolish virgins, when they were shut out, they said, Lord, Lord, what were they doing? They were calling on the name of the Lord. What did they not understand? Just calling on the name of the Lord is not enough. You've got to be following God. You've got to be a disciple of Christ. You've got to be letting your light shine. You've got to be doing what God tells you to do. And then when you do that and you call on the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. May God help us, is my prayer, to call on the name of the Lord every day for Christ's sake.
You have been listening to the Trumpet of Truth, a broadcast ministry of the Waycross Primitive Baptist Church, located at 107 Linden Drive in Waycross, Georgia. Find us on your radio Sunday mornings at 9 and Sunday evenings at 5 on 91.9 FM, WASW, American Family Radio. We are committed to helping every child of God grow in their Christian walk with the Lord. If you would like a free subscription to our monthly magazine or a CD of the broadcast you just heard, please write us at the Trumpet of Truth, 655 Acock Road, Waycross, Georgia, 31503, or call us 912-285-9193.
If for any reason you were not able to hear today's message in its entirety, or if you would like to share it with a friend or a loved one, you can find this message as well as many other resources, including audio and video sermons and Bible study aids, also the Trumpet of Truth magazine, on our webpage at www.thetrumpetoftruth.com. That's the Trumpet of Truth, all one word, all lowercase with no spaces, .com. And you can also follow us on Facebook. Just search for Waycross Primitive Baptist Church. Thank you again for letting us be a part of your Lord's Day, and we look forward to hearing from you if you have any questions or comments. Thank you for your prayers and support. We hope you have a blessed day.
Lord willing, join us next Sunday. And until then, let's blow the trumpet in Zion. We now rejoin American Family Radio.